Good evening, Carmel High School. My name is Evan Onimus. With me is...
Michael Davis.
And welcome to this week's edition of eHounds, your one-stop shop for everything gaming-related. So today, we're going to start off talking...
We're gonna top about stuff.
Let's talk about Steam Boxes. So have you heard anything about the Steam Boxes?
I've heard of them, but I don't know that much about them. I have my trusty tablet here, which is making creative noises, to tell me all about them.
Because, I've been researching them a bit, and so they vary in price widely. The cheapest, I believe, is like $400, $500, up to something like $5,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have them up right here. It looks like there's one that's like $399.99, and then it's right next to one which is $779.
I kind of understand where they're going from, where it's just like, well, you want versatility, and I kind of like how they got like different brand deals, but the only thing about that is I know, so like Alienware, I don't feel like Alienware is really known much except for just being a brand that, you know, gets you the components, but, you know, they don't really have any of, like, they don't have like Alienware brand, you know, chips or anything.
Yeah.
But I know some of them, like, I think Origin's doing one. I'd like to say Corsair is, but I don't remember. But I know, like, Corsair does RAM, so, like, that'd be something interesting to see. But, I mean, just, when are they coming out? I think they said it was, like, November or something.
Let's see.
Because I know...
Steambox release.
Because I know when they were, like, first announced, they were talking so much about, like, oh, yeah, Valve is terrible at hitting the Christmas season.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's November 10th.
Okay, because I know, I was wondering, like, well, are they aiming for Christmas or are they aiming for after? Because I know, like, Valve is really bad at hitting the Christmas season and generally always miss.
I was going to say, well, now they're, like, a little bit before. I mean, November 10th, so you're kind of in it, but that's still a little early, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Also, we were talking before, you said you've played the new Shovel Knight expansion?
Yes, Shovel Knight Plague of Shadows. It came out recently. And it's a lot of fun. It's the same old thing, though. I very much enjoy Shovel Knight. It's a wonderful game. And the expansion, you get to play as one of the original game's villains, Plague Knight. And, you know, so it's a different story. The story actually takes place at the same time that the first game takes place. So you're doing Plague Knight stuff as Shovel Knight is doing his stuff. So you can actually see Shovel Knight running when, like, there's a part where you're running under the ground, and you can see Shovel Knight running above the ground doing things, which is really cool. But an issue that I have with it is it's all the main levels are the same levels. Like, it's a different story, but because it's a platformer game, and the platforms and everything are the same. It's just you're doing them with a different character this time. Which... it's fine. I have no... It's disappointing that there's not new levels, or at least from what I've seen. Again, I've only finished the first two. But, I mean, it's also... It is a free expansion. So, I can't really expect a bunch of, hey, this is a bunch of really cool new stuff. But, yeah, and there still is new stuff. Like, there's a new home base area for a Plague Knight instead of Shovel Knight, so...
Well, I feel like another thing with, like, the level design of that... So, I feel like you can reuse stuff, but the thing is you have to make it creative... for someone to get past it, or you need to make it so, because I know an old game, did you ever hear about the game Brink?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, that game had, I forget what, it was smart, and it was like smart movement across random terrain or something like that, and, you know, it was all about, well, you have your three different body archetypes, and that changes how you traverse, but the thing about it was, that was, I thought was pretty cool, was just how, you know, it's the same levels, but you can get through them in so many different ways.
Yeah, which is something, because again, since you're playing that new character of Plague Knight, there are different ways to get through the levels. It's actually, I find it to be a lot easier to get through the levels now, because Plague Knight has this double jump and these potions and stuff where he gets to fly around and all that stuff. So I actually find getting through the levels to be a lot easier. Now, what I have found is the bosses much harder with Plague Knight, or at least Spectre Knight is. I got through King Knight in one try. Spectre Knight, I have yet to beat. Because I haven't found any, like... Because in the first game, you could get armor and stuff, which would increase your life, or give you these special abilities and stuff like that. With Plague Knight, you get potions and stuff that can increase your life and things like that, but it doesn't last forever. And if you use all five of your potions, and then you lose to the boss, you don't get those five potions back. So you've basically just used that, and now you're stuck with just your normal self. And so it's so difficult. And the way he throws the potions is... it's harder to aim with the potions than it was with the shovel in the first game to actually hit the... at least Specter Knight, who's flying around everywhere. So boss is much more difficult.
Yeah, I still have been trying to get Shovel Knight. The game I've actually been playing recently is Trials Fusion, which I like the Trials games because of just how hilarious they are. And I know that game came out a while ago, but I just tried it out because I remember trying it out in like one of those booths that they have at like, you know, Best Buy or GameStop or whatnot. And it's still fun. Have you ever played them?
No, I just looked them up right here, though.
They're mostly console. I don't think they are on PC, but, like, I would probably never play it without a gamepad. And, it's all about the hilarity. So, I don't know if this was a free update or if this was, like, DLC, but you know the, like, internet meme with the cat in a bandana riding a unicorn?
Yeah.
So, there are tracks in the game where you, like, go through a portal and that's what you become. And it's in, like, it's kind of like, you played TF2, right?
No, well...
You haven't?
I guess I have for, like, a small amount of time at my cousin's house.
I was going to say, you know of a Pyrovision?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically like that, except for now you're riding a unicorn as a cat. And it with, like, a flaming trail. It's, like, it's all about the hilarity. And, I mean, if you ever play some of those levels, they're ridiculous, especially the fan-created ones. But that's what I've been playing recently.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been playing that... I went to the store the other day and I got Rare Replay for Xbox. What do you know about Rare Replay?
Does it have to do with Rareware?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's all of their old games like Banjo-Kazooie and stuff like that. Just kind of redone and put on one disc. And it's so much fun. I've been playing Banjo-Kazooie lately just because... you know, they're older, I haven't played them in forever, and now playing them again, or for the first time even, for some of them that I never played, it's amazing. And it's a really nostalgic feeling to play all of them again. But yeah, so I love Rare Replay.
You know, one thing I feel like the 2D platformer genre has actually prospered throughout. I mean, it's back to 1985, or
yeah.
It was like, you know, past, you know, when NES came out, Mario came out, but I feel like the 3D platformer, like the 3D... I guess third person. I don't know how to describe it. I wouldn't call that third person. Like, it's just has fallen out. I mean, it's not really used anymore.
Yeah, well, that's because like, it's the most annoying of the platformers to not only make, but to also play.
Well, I feel, yeah, because you can't have a lot of closed spaces. Because I know when Castlevania did the transition to 3D, like, that's what its biggest issue was.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, Mario and even the Mario games say, like, they have either open, like, they have really open landscapes. And so for them, it's not really hard. Or, like, what other game? You know, Banjo-Kazooie and Conker's Bad Fur Day. It's, you know, they use really open areas. Even if you're indoors, you're in, like, a hall.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, some huge place. But, I mean, I feel, because, like, we've mastered, you know, the 2D platform and everything. But, like, the 3D one, I mean, because, you know, we talk about, well, how good those games were. But we haven't done anything like that in so long. I mean, and you could argue Kazooie or Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. But I feel like that was... more of a game trying to like pander because it had the racing elements with the open world and it's like,
yeah,
it felt too big to walk on foot, but like from what I've heard, but also too small to like use your actual vehicle.
Yeah.
Have you played Kazooie Nuts and Bolts or just wait, does it come packaged with the Rareware thing?
I know it has Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, and then there's one more Banjo-Kazooie game, but I can't remember what it is. I've only started playing Banjo-Kazooie again.
Because
I've been playing a bunch of games on my PC as well, so that's the main console game I'm playing while I wait for, like, Assassin's Creed and stuff like that to come out.
You know, I've always wondered if Microsoft would ever release, like, an Xbox player in a PC. I feel like that'd be pretty decent, but it also would just destroy the Xbox market.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, I think that'd still be cool to do.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
I mean, it'd be cool, yeah, because... Well, because, I mean, it's so... I mean, because I know the Xbox One, so it has a Blu-ray player in it. So now you have a Blu-ray player, a DVD player, you can play CDs and games. I mean, I feel like if the Xbox were to ever go on a decline, that's probably what they would do.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that way would move everything into... So that it's just an all-in-one machine. Which, I mean, I feel like that's what companies are, like, nowadays. Because, I mean, Google's trying to do it. I mean, the PlayStation, the Xbox are really trying to do it. Because the Xbox has the... like smart TV integration.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're trying to also battle the PC market because PCs can do anything and everything. So in order to battle that, you also have to do anything and everything.
Yep. Well, because I feel like PCs, they're still kind of limited to, like, you know, well, where is the tower? And, you know, with it's also limited to, like, you know, if you come home after a long day, you know, I don't like playing a lot of PC games most of the time because I don't want to boot up my PC, wait for it to load, sign in, and then open up the game, wait for that to load, because, you know, a lot of them are like online games, or if I want to play like League of Legends, you know, then sign in, then get new game, wait in the queue, or I can just, you know, turn on my Xbox, grab the controller, and then like start playing the game.
I was gonna say, I don't know how slow your computer is or something, but for mine, my laptop that I play on, it's an Asus laptop, and I turn it on, well, most of the time I just leave it on, but I turn it on, and it takes me 3 seconds once it's turned on to get into, like, World of Warcraft or something.
Mine just takes a while to boot up, and then I use the, like, the biometric fingerprint, mostly, yeah, so that takes time. The only hard thing is, and I should probably check my computer for viruses, because I only use, like, the default Microsoft stuff, so I'm pretty sure I have, like, loads of viruses.
I was gonna say, mine is super protected.
It just takes a while to, it just takes a slow start, but once it gets going, then it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so you still have to wait for that, and it's like, well, what am I going to do when I'm waiting? Well, if I'm playing an Xbox game, then I'm just playing an Xbox game. But, yeah, I do feel like the battle is happening, but what I wonder is are they going to make just gadgets and gadgets and gadgets add on to it? Like I forget the name of the Microsoft thing, it's their take on VR.
Thing?
Like, what I want to know is, well, how is that going to take over the living room? Because, they had a tech demo somewhere, but I forget where it was, but it was like, they were playing Minecraft on a table.
Yeah, that was at E3, wasn't it?
It was E3. I was thinking CES, but I was like, you know, it could be either. But, I mean, just the hardware. And have you heard about, I think Samsung released it. It was like $99 VR.
No.
It's like, it's basically VR goggles for like $99. And what a lot of people are saying is it's going to be like the new take on cheap VR, and it's going to be, you know, the step in the door for a lot of people. Because one thing I've always been interested in is, well, you know, where is VR going? Because I think it'll definitely work for PC. I don't think it's going to ever take off in like a console market. But, you know, you have a lot of specialty games, and it works really well for like getting into the game. But I just always wanted to know, like, well, where is it going to take off, especially like genre wise? You know, when will it really start? Because, I mean, I feel like VR has just been that thing for years and years where it's like, you know, you always hear something pop up and then it goes, and, you know, it fades out. But now, like, with Oculus and, you know, Samsung and HTC, it's all been, like, coming up and up and up. And then now I think something's been released and the Oculus dev kits are looking really good. So it's like, you know, where is VR going?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not actually the biggest fan of VR. I haven't actually tried it, but it doesn't seem like something I want to try. I am just a big fan of sitting at my computer and just chilling there.
Because I like a decent amount of PC games. So have you ever heard of the games either Gravity Bone or Jazz Punk?
Ah, Jazz Punk. I love Jazz Punk.
So I guess those are described as like walking simulators. That's the only word I could use to describe them. But I enjoy a lot of those games. So I know the only titles I can think of, like Dear Esther, I just enjoy a lot of the one, or Ether One, which, you know, so I enjoy a lot of those games. So I feel like, you know, for me, that'd be interesting to do. But yeah, I can understand where if you're playing like a stealth game, that wouldn't be fun.
No, I think Jazz Punk as a VR could be fun. That would be because you would be in that silly universe.
Oh my gosh, I would. That game was so like fun, and I beat it, and I wanted more. And I'm like, oh, they're not gonna release more, are they?
Probably not. No. But it was so great because it's just a complete randomness. It's an absurdist game.
Those are my favorite kind. The games that are like, you know, they have such high replay value because it's like, well, what did I miss? Well, what did I miss? And when I last left off, it was after you get swallowed by the chief as the alligator. And I remember trying to replay the whole thing because the hardest part for me in that game was the when they gave you the old Virtual Boys and then you played tennis. That was like, I was like, why?
Oh, there's just so much that happens in that game. It's crazy. And you go into a system or something. I don't even know.
I would actually, it was insane. I would, if they released like a lore book, I would read it.
Oh, 100%. I'd be all about the lore of jazz punk.
Oh my god, because it's like, well, why? What, you know, because the one thing I always wanted to know is, where does he get like the hands? Like, where, you know, where are you carrying that? Have you ever seen commercials for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like he puts a pigeon, he puts just a bunch of those poster hands in the thing. I always want to know what, like, where does that all tie in together?
You know, you can ask that, you can be like, well, where, how does this make sense? But, you know, it just doesn't. Like, that's the whole point of that game, is that nothing makes sense. So if they released a lore book, I'd be so about it, because the lore book would make just as not any sense.
Well, part of it is also that's because grammar. It's really, like, reference heavy. And it's like, because I know, because there were a lot, like, a bunch of things that, like, I could realize, even if I hadn't experienced it, but, like, I knew, like, oh, you know, that's referencing this. And... But the good news is like, even if you didn't know it, it was still a fun game. It was just weird, though.
Yeah.
So, have you like, ever pre-ordered, or not have you ever, have you been pre-ordering games recently?
No, I'm not a big fan of pre-ordering. I've only ever pre-ordered one time.
Oh.
And I regretted it.
What was it?
And it was for the World of Warcraft expansion, Warlords of Draenor. So not the most recent one. And actually, the only reason I regretted it is because, I'm a big fan of having, like, a physical thing when I buy a game, and I was sad because I pre-ordered it online, and so I didn't get the box. And so now I've actually been going to stores waiting for them to mark the box cheaper. Because, you know, eventually all the expansions go down to like $5.99. Oh, yeah. So I'm just waiting for Warlords of Draenor to go down to that cheap so I can just buy it just so I can have the box.
See, I used to pre-order a lot of games, then I stopped once pre-orders were basically once Assassin's Creed Unity happened, and it was like, you know, you pre-ordered it and then all of a sudden, like, oh, hey, here's a basically unfinished game. So, because of that, I recently pre-ordered the new Need for Speed, which I believe that comes out November 6th, and, you know, it's a racing game, and I like console racing games because you just can go fast, and they're, you know, as
and
I said
furious.
Before, and furious, and because, you know, they're easier to just pick up, play, and go. But the thing that really, like, piqued my interest is, you know how in every game, like, they're always trying to push something forward?
Yeah.
So, like, I get, you know, like, you know, like, some new design. Well, so for this newest Need for Speed, it's all about, like, building the car and, like, designing it with aftermarket parts to look the way you want it to look. So, you know, the other game I compare it to would be The Crew. So have you played The Crew?
I haven't played it, but I've seen it.
If you've seen screenshots, you know how, like, they have the street, the dirt, and, like, all those. So the thing was the only thing was about The Crew, I kind of liked it, except for the one thing that I think that game did, which I think is a, like, mortal sin of racing game design, is it didn't make you feel like you were going fast. I could be going 150 miles an hour, and I wouldn't feel fast. It would just feel like, oh, you know.
But would you feel furious?
I was furious because I didn't feel like I was going fast. It was just because
they got 50%.
I mean, yeah, they got 50%. Well, not the good 50%, but... Well, I mean, besides that, I mean, so one thing I also like is I'm not a big fan of cosmetic damage. I mean, like, I understand why it's in there, and I think, like, sometimes it looks really nice, but there are times where it's just I want to drive fast, and I don't really want to worry about, like, my car getting damaged. So that's why I really like the Forza games or older racing games which don't have the high polygon counts, because it's like, oh, you know, a crash is just a huge scrape because they can't, like, model all of the... Yeah, so... You know, either like those or Forza Horizon, which just, do you want cosmetic damage? No? Okay. Then so it's just like an option, which surprisingly it's in the difficulty menu.
Now, speaking of racing games, do you like Mario Kart?
The only thing that I guess I don't like about it is, and this is on the Wii version, it would be just the controller.
Do you mean the wheel controller?
Yeah, like, no, just like using Wiimote sideways, because...
Oh, well... Did you know you can actually buy a fake plastic steering wheel thing that you put the Wii Remote in?
That's not the issue. The issue is just that is, like, for a joystick, part of it's because I'm more used to a joystick, and part of it's, like, you know, I'm used to it, and because it's, like, the sensor thing, so it doesn't have, like, a very sensitive turning angle.
Yeah.
You know, but that's, like, a minor gripe. I mean, it's still really good, especially for, like, on the controller that it's on.
Yeah, I just like it as a party game. Like, if I have people coming over, actually, at this point, we don't have a Wii anymore. So if I go over to, like, my cousin's house or something, it's a great party game, much like Bomberman, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, is, like, I think the Wii turned from a family console to a party console.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I mean, I think before, I guess you had, like, the Guitar Hero and the Rock Band era, and then now it's just the, you have Mario. Well, I mean, Mario Party, that era is still going,
yeah,
as long as you keep releasing them. But now it's like, you know, your Mario Kart and your Super Smash Brothers, especially with the
Super Mario Maker.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't played that.
I have, again, I don't have a Wii anymore, or a Wii U, so I only have the Xbox and the PC. But I want to try it.
What I want to know is if, because Super Mario Maker's gotten a lot from, like, the YouTubers and the press, so I want to know, well, is that changing the sales? Because the Wii U hasn't really been seen as being successful, especially since, you know, the Wii U is equivalent to the 360 and the PS4.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I know, like, it's only their, you know, their franchises that are really getting onto it, but I really don't feel like I've seen much else. And I mean, besides Mario Maker, I just want to know, you know, is that affecting sales? Have they been going up? And what will that do for the Christmas season?
Are you talking about, has Super Mario Maker affected sales for the
Wii
U?
Yeah.
Oh, I doubt it. I can't see why. Because if you're a fan of Nintendo, if you're a fan of Mario and stuff like that, you already own the Wii U. So I can't imagine Super Mario Maker is affecting sales for the Wii U.
You know, the one thing, okay, so one thing that I always wanted to know is, like, what happens when we get from one generation to another? Because I know nowadays, especially since PC and console are now, like, basically at war with each other. So the biggest issues I always hear are frame rate, graphics, and, I mean, basically just how well it runs. And so what I've always wondered is, what did the newest generation, like the Xbox One, the PS4, actually accomplish? Because I feel like, I mean, I don't have a 4K TV, and I don't even think the Xbox One can run, or PS4 can run 4K, because they both came out, like, right before it became really mainstream. But so, I mean, so you still got 1080p. I mean, I guess it has, I mean, so it has better, but I think it has better graphics cards, so you get more of the, like, you know, anti-aliasing and to the something scopic filter, which I do not know enough about graphics cards to describe that, but I feel like, you know, it has a lot more of that type of stuff, so it just looks cleaner. And I mean, you know, they have the resolution and the lighting, but I feel like also the engines have just adapted to look better.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've just always thought, well, you know, what did the next generation accomplish? Because the PC doesn't, they don't have that. You don't really have generations. You get a new PC, you can get one now and then get another one, like, a year later, or you can get one now and then get another one 10 years later. And I mean, there's the only difference is, okay, well, now I can play the newest games at the highest settings.
Yeah.
But I mean, the console generations, it's like when something new comes out, I mean, that's what everything looks good on. And the only downside is because of how fast technology goes. I mean, the Xbox One and PS4, they were probably obsolete like 3 months after launch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a sad thing to think about, because they can't just release like special versions that, you know, have graphics cards that can go 4K or like special processors. And I just feel like, you know, that's where console is going. I feel like that's probably what SteamBox is aiming for. But the thing, you said there's like a $400 one. I mean,
yeah, $399.99.
I mean, I want to see, you know, 5 years after these come out, where's the console market? Because the SteamBox does look, I mean, it looks really promising. And, you know, you can mostly get your games from PC, from console to PC. And I'm pretty sure the $400 one, I'm going to say it'll probably be better than the Xbox One and PS4 now. I mean, that's going to be true. But what I want to know is, so will it perform better? Because will it run games at 60 FPS? Because I know with a lot of PC users, like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But what I also want to know,
I would assume that's what they're aiming for.
What I also want to know is how's the store going to work? Because, so let's say I were to get it for, like, a friend who never has played PC. Well, how would that work for them? What I also want to know is, so let's say you have a game that is gamepad enabled, but you could also use like keyboard and mouse. So let's say like Call of Duty, because I hear a lot of people say, you know, the strategies you use on an Xbox for like dodging, you can't use them on PC because of just the accuracy of mouse aiming. So what I want to know is, well, how will that change, you know, the face of playing games?
I couldn't tell you.
It's 5 years down the line, and all of a sudden consoles are Steam boxes reign supreme. Steam still has bad customer service.
All I know, PC's great.
I mean, I like mine too. The thing is, I got a laptop, and the thing is, I don't have like a tower, so you can't easily like take it apart and then put new parts in, especially like let's say if you want well better part, so going from like an NVIDIA, you know, GTX like 580 to a GTX Titan, I mean, you're gonna probably need a new power source just for one Titan.
Yeah.
Especially since the fact that, have you seen how much Titans are priced at?
I was at Fry's the other day, and they're
like
crazy.
The cheapest I've seen is like $1,700.
Yeah.
That is like, oh my God, that's expensive. And the thing I've got to ask someone about this, because I've always wondered, well, so if you have, because I've seen like computers where, you know, you can put 2 to 4 Titans in them. Well, does that mean you could hypothetically render graphics better than 4K? Or does that only mean you can now have 24 4K ultra-wide monitors running at, you know, 60 to 120 hertz?
Yeah.
I mean, what would you even do? If you had 24 ultra-wide, let's say 120 hertz monitors, what do you think you would even need that much space for?
Nothing. Watching all the videos ever.
It would be like...
Like editing 20 videos at the same time.
I mean, I don't even think there's any use for that space, or even if you just had one thing on 24 ultra-wide monitors. I mean, those things are, those things are just huge.
Yeah.
You would probably actually have the original movie theater experience, as long as the bezel on the screens was so, oh my gosh, now that I think about it, that'd just be the best thing to watch movies. You'd have your own home theater.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, if you're doing work, you're sitting, you're only using like 2 screens out of the 24 in front of you.
That would be amazing.
That would be like, that's just an example of like, why do you have this? I don't know, it looks cool.
I just want it. It's just a thing that I wanted, so
maybe,
I did it.
Maybe I want my social media on the screen that I have to wheel my chair over to look at, and I want my YouTube all the way over here.
It's just, the room is just this gigantic, like, football field of a room.
You have a football stadium with nothing but monitors.
You just have to run 100 yards to watch a different video, and then you gotta run 100 yards back to type a Word document.
Where did I put my Word document? Which monitor's on? Oh, is it up there? Man, now I gotta find the keyboard. Oh my gosh. But, so you said you pre-ordered, so I guess we should probably get back to the topic we were at hand. I think it was pre-ordering.
I guess.
So why do you not like pre-ordering?
A lot of it comes down to, again, I like physical
mm-hmm.
things. I like having, when I buy something, I like to have something to show for what I bought. And I like putting it on my desk and stuff to see the art of the box or anything like that. It's like when I bought The Witcher 3, loved it because they had a map in there. They had all sorts of like stickers and cool stuff in there, that a lot of games they used to do. A lot of games, when you would buy them, they would have more than just a disc. They would have maps and all those.
We are definitely cool past things. The era of, like, especially I'm going to use like instruction manuals.
It makes me so sad.
Because they used to have like story. Because now it's just controls and warranties.
Yeah.
But no, it used to be like story.
I was going
to
say, yeah, I was looking at my old Warcraft manual and I was just reading the stories in there because they have it's so great. And I absolutely love that, and I miss it so much. I wish games would go back to having maps and stories and just little things that go along with the game.
Part of it was they were, because it was the basics of strategy guides. So let's say you were, I think like Oblivion did this, because I mean,
yeah,
it's been a long time. Well, I mean, specifically, like, I think what they did is they put like all of their races in there. And they just put all of, like, they, you know, all the types of magics and all the skills and, like, explain it. Now, I know some, like, a lot of games used to do that. I don't know if Oblivion did, because I've never bought a new copy since, like, game came out, in 2006. I didn't get an Xbox till like, 2009, 2010. So, by then, like, it's been circulated a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, that is just, that was such a great time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then another reason I don't pre-order is I don't want to. Like, I don't see the point in it, really, because I buy a game for story, and a lot of times if you pre-order, they're like, hey, we'll give you this bonus and stuff like that. It'll be really cool. And I'm like, I don't care about the bonus. I just want the story, so I'll just wait until your game comes out, and then I'll get it then. So yeah, that's another reason I don't pre-order.
Well, I know part of it is so, like, did you see the Fallout 4 Special Edition?
Nah.
So it comes with a Pip-Boy. That's a smartphone holder.
Yeah.
So... Do you know that thing? I think that thing was that game ran, they ran out of special editions, like, after their keynote. Like, you know, Todd Howard walks on, talks 15 minutes, you know, it says special edition, and it's like 10 minutes later, oh, like, they're all gone. Which, I mean, I think it got to the point where Amazon and GameStop were trying, they were, like, investigating it to see if, you know, how many people were scalping, like, four of them. Which, I mean, I'll be honest, I would probably buy one off scalper as long as it's not, like, you know, $800. Like, I'd probably, I mean, I don't, let's see, that's probably priced at, like, $150. I mean, if it was $200, I'd probably get it. I will, because, I mean, it's a Pip-Boy smartphone holder. Who doesn't want that?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh my god!
So I'm gonna say that I don't want one.
You haven't. Have you ever?
Because I don't know what it is.
Have you ever played Fallout?
No, I haven't.
Oh my goodness!
Also, I would like getting really close to the mic.
You need to. They recently came out with a version of it that's like $50, and it has Fallout 1, Fallout 2, Fallout Tactics, Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition, and Fallout 4 Ultimate Edition, which is basically the same as Game of the Year. And I think it's all PC. I would recommend you getting it because they're really. Have you played like Skyrim and Oblivion?
Yeah, I've played Skyrim.
So the only difference is instead of like using a skill to level it up, like the biggest difference is you can choose. So for example, like speech. Well, instead of talking to people and having to have like those interactions, you can just say, "Oh, I want to put all of my points into speech," and it works more on a baseline of what they call special, which is, you know, your strength, your perception, your endurance, your intelligence, your agility, and your luck. And so it works more off of base stats, and then it like, that's just how it worked. What I always liked was taking the goat, which this is Fallout 3, and so you play like from baby to like, I think until you're 19 is when you like actually get out, and that's when the real story begins. But so, you know, because it's just a tutorial, but when you're 16, you take a test called the GOAT, and I forget what it stands for, but it's basically like, this is the career you will be. And that was, it was just always fun because they would ask you questions. So like, your dad left his personal bathroom unlocked. How do you mess with him? Do you unscrew some bolts so that water starts flying everywhere? Do you replace his diabetic medicine with sugar pills? Do you throw a cherry bomb into his toilet?
Do you murder him, basically?
it was stuff like that, or it was like, you know, oh, old man Jenkins locked himself up again. Well, how do you get him out? Do you go to the armory, get a laser pistol, and then shoot the lock off? Do you pickpocket it? Do you just yell at him?
What?
I mean, that was an answer.
These are career tests.
Yeah, this is a career test. It's,
why can't we take these here? Because every career test I take is like, hey, do you want to drive a bus for the rest of your life? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, you're gonna. That's what the test told me. Do you remember freshman year? That's what that test told me.
Mine told me, oh, you mean the pretest?
Yeah.
Mine, okay, so I was an avid freshman year and I took a separate one, but so that one told me like private eye and like engineer and computer stuff. And then I took one for avid and it told me to be a female doctor. I'm just like, what?
Yeah, no, my test was just like, hey, you're gonna drive a bus, kid, or like a limo or a cab. You're just gonna drive a thing. Like, that was all of it. It was just driving stuff.
I mean,
anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Depending on, like, if you were someone's personal driver, I feel like that'd be much different. I mean, I'd be someone's personal driver.
I'd be fine with that.
But it's because it's only one person, or it's, like, them and a group of people. But, one, they'd probably be supplying all the vehicles. You know, and I don't think it'd be that bad. Also, you guys are tuned into eHounds, your one-stop shop for everything gaming-related, from news to eSports to everything in between, here on 91.3 WHJE. But going back to what we were talking about, I feel like, you know, being personal driver, I don't think it'd be that bad, but I mean, mostly because I have all that practice from Grand Theft Auto.
I would not hire you if that is on your application, like, hey, I've played a lot of Grand Theft Auto, I would be a great personal driver for you. I would not hire you. Or actually, hold on a second, I would hire you really fast.
But you wouldn't trust me with any of your like really expensive ones. You'd just be like, all right. You'd be like, all right. So I called the cops and gave them a fake notice that this vehicle is been stolen. So you need to drive quickly to get us to the house, like something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
My gosh, that was. Ugh.
So what games? And so you said you like just buying games on the release date. So what I'd like to say is like, so I pre-ordered Need for Speed. I love how we keep derailing, but I've heard Need for Speed because I mean, mostly because I just wanted it, because a lot of big copies on console, so, like, Steam can't say, oh, too many people have bought this game, you can't, well, I mean, they can, but that's when, like, there's been so much traffic, but, I mean, Steam should be able to handle that, and they probably even, like, plan ahead, but, you know, a physical copy, if you run out of a physical copy, I mean, you run out of a physical copy, so, like, that's one reason, because, I mean, the only time, I mean, when GTA 5 came out, so I remember going there, that was a game I pre-ordered, they said, do you have pre-ordered, and if you said no, they wouldn't give you a copy, you had to leave, and so, you know, like, that was pretty, that would be like, wow, because it was such a big game, and I guess one reason I pre-ordered Need for Speed is because sometimes you don't know if deluxe, because sometimes it's just the deluxe editions, like Fallout 4 happens, you know, oh, you can't get the deluxe edition, but part of it also is because they didn't come out with any, like, really exclusive content. It's basically kind of like an early jumpstart. So, I know you get like a car that's, like, mid-range instead of your normal starter vehicle. And then you get, like, you already get, a pre-unlocked, you know, design pack for it. And so that's really the only reason I got it. And, I think you also maybe get, like, starting credits. Which I feel like, you know, if that's a pre-order bonus, I mean, that's completely fair. Which... Well, I guess that leads into something else we should probably talk about, which is, have you ever noticed that, so, Need for Speed, they're doing, you know, they're doing this, but if they were to have given, like, you know, extra maps or, you know, something, like, you know, I probably wouldn't have pre-ordered it, and I feel like, nowadays, you doing something that we should consider just normal is, like, seen as such a big PR move. It's like, oh, you know... No microtransactions, no paid DLC. Oh, you're now great. When I feel like, you know, back then it was like, you know, adding these things would make you seem as having ulterior motives.
Yeah.
And I mean, nowadays it's like, nowadays, you know, we're really happy when it's like, oh yeah, there's no microtransactions. Oh yeah, there's no always online connectivity.
Yeah. I enjoy no microtransactions.
I mean, well, dude, I don't think World of Warcraft has any.
No.
I mean, because it's...
It's one of the reasons I love it.
Well, I've probably
been playing it for over 7 years.
Well, because I know, like, Guild Wars 2 recently went free-to-play, and I think they have, like, a microtransaction store, but, I mean, they also just went free-to-play, so you can't really, like, it would make sense to have one, because if you don't have one, I mean, I have Guild Wars 2, I paid for it once, and... I mean, that was it. So I don't pay for anything else. So I feel like, you know, you do need to have that microtransaction store just to... Because then, you know, it gets, like, League of Legends or, you know, something where it's like, how much money have you spent on this free game? $5,000 to, like, thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just feel like it's... The industry's changing. It always is.
Yeah, well, it's because it's... The gaming industry is always changing because it's also a medium we don't understand yet fully. It's in its teenage years.
I feel like the greats of today will be will be classes of what you take tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's definitely because like film and paintings, television, all of those mediums we've mastered. Like we know what we're doing. We know what people like, and it's good, but gaming. No, people don't really understand it yet, and that's why you have a lot of people who don't respect gaming and stuff like that, because everyone, even if you're not a film person, can respect it as an art form, but a lot of people just don't understand gaming. Like, I was having a conversation with people the other day about how gaming can be very therapeutic, and they just didn't understand how. They were like, it's not an art form, it can't be therapeutic, it's just a bunch of blood and violence and stuff, and I'm like, no, that's not what it is. But yeah, so it's just a misunderstand art form right now, or misunderstood art form, because it's in its teenage years.
Well, okay, so there was... So I watched this guy on YouTube called Errant Signal, and he's kind of like a game critic slash one of those guys that just talks about, like, the highbrow, conceptual-based games. So, for example, there's one where the game is... 10 minutes, but it's like all in slow-mo, like the time around you is in slow motion, so in reality it's only happening in 1 minute, and it's like of a meteor hitting the place, and so the point of, you know, there's no real point to the game, but, you know, there's a whole story underlying and everything there. Or, you know, you have games like Little Inferno, Have you ever heard of that one?
No.
It was a, it was basically a game about burning objects, and it was kind of it was one of those like, well, it was a self-aware game, so it was you know, you put objects into this place, you light them on fire, you get money, and then you use that to buy more items. That's all it was. But you also had like the combos that you could make. But it was also really self-aware of like talking about. I mean, you would always get letters from this one like NPC kind of, and it was like. It was like, can you look behind you? Because I can't. And it talked a lot about, it was one of those self-aware games. And, you know, yeah, I can understand because, I mean, if I pointed a lot of people, like, gaming is bad to a lot of games, like, that would be considered a lot, like, self-aware. I mean, it's just an entirely different section that I feel like it's emerging, and I feel like that's really cool. I'm trying to think of some. The only person I know who talks a lot about them are this guy on YouTube called Errant Signal. So, there's this one game called like Glitch Hikers where it basically is all about, you know, the 2 a.m. drive. Like that's what it tries to I guess simulate. And it's, you know, you're on a highway, it's like 2 a.m, there's just the lonely radio station, and then you pick up hitchhikers every so often. And you know, you have pretty deep conversations with them, or like deep, or you know, the like deep, the deep ones for like 2 a.m. And it's just, and you know, you just talk like, it's just all about, well, it, you know, it wants to simulate this and it does it pretty well. Yeah. And at the end of the, and like the end choice is basically, do you stay on the highway or do you merge into the city? And it's like, you know, well, are you at your destination or are you not?
How do you know?
I mean, no, that's the thing, is it's, you know, it's player based. And I don't know if it was like, I think it's randomly generated, like just the passengers you get every so often. But, I mean, the game takes, like, 20 minutes to play through it once. And, I mean, it's, like, I think it was, like, $20, which I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's the hardest thing for indie games is, like, the pricing.
Yeah.
Have you actually been looking into what a lot of people are calling the indiepocalypse?
Do
you have anything to say on it?
Not really. I just know about it.
Because what I always heard the main argument is basically goes back to business and supply and demand. Well, you know, there's only so much money that's going to be spent on games. And when there's an oversaturation, which, you know, I agree, that's true. If there's an oversaturation of the market, I mean, the money isn't going to, I mean, the money, it, I mean, it's always going to hover around the same area. Sometimes someone goes on splurges, sometimes someone might not. And I think Steam does a really good job with the summer sale and the winter sales, because, you know, it takes that same amount of money, but it just, you know, makes it, instead of going, like, over 2 games, to 20. Which I think, you know, I think that's really, I feel like that's a really good move, especially, like, well, even though a lot of games that do it are, like, the big budget ones and the ones everyone already knows about. But, I mean, I do feel like it is definitely, you know, you have just too many things. But I feel like part of it is also, from what I've heard, I believe Total Biscuit was talking about this. What he was talking about was how it's just, not only is the supply higher than the demand, but, you know, the supply isn't all good.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you have these games that aren't really good and that'll, you know, so they don't sell well. And then they might be like, oh, indiepocalypse, yada, yada, yada. Which, I mean, I feel like that's probably been a byproduct of a lot of success stories. I mean, like, you take a look at Notch, you take a look at, you know, a lot, like, the big people, like GTA 5, you're thinking, like, man, these people are making so much. Or you've heard of the game Braid?
Yeah.
Like, the creator of that, I mean, all the money they made, and, you know, a lot of people, they want to replicate that success, but rarely does that really ever happen, unless you come out with something interesting, so, like, Goat Simulator. Which, I feel like that was basically just a satire on the simulator series.
Oh, it 100% was.
I mean, it was really fun. It was just
like, hey, you know simulator games that are really dumb and why do you play them?
Like
here's the dumbest of them all, and you're gonna love it.
I mean,
and we did.
I mean, because it's the game you play for, like, 15 to 30 minutes, and then you're done. But it's so just good. And I think they released, like, an MMO version of it.
That I don't know how to respond to that.
You can play as like a microwave, I think.
I'm not sure how I should respond to that. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or if that's a bad thing.
I mean, I think, I don't remember if the
mic... What has this world come to that we have a Goat Simulator MMO?
where you can play as a microwave? I mean, I mean...
What if that's the MMO to beat WoW?
Oh my god.
I want that. I love World of Warcraft, but if that MMO was the one to beat it, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
I mean, if there was like an MMO that, oh my gosh. But definitely, what I really like is how simulator, so you know how like gate is the thing to put on the end of every scandal?
Watergate.
Game, like, every
games,
gate.
The gates.
The thing is well, someone said that like Bill Gates needs to build a gate around his home for
Bill Gate Gate?
No, to keep out like gays who limp. So it's like Gates Gate Gate Gays Gate Gate. It was something like that. And it's like, oh my, it was just, you know, would that end the trend? Maybe it would. But I feel like the word simulator is kind of a hot word for gaming. So especially like the term walking simulator is so, I feel like that's being used a lot now, which I mean,
yeah.
I feel like that is, you know, I feel like that's a genre, but I mean, depending on what you're trying to accomplish, like I know jazz punk, that's definitely a walking simulator.
Yeah, but it's a great walking simulator because just crazy stuff happens.
Yeah. But I feel like that's the thing. So whenever I think of walking simulators, I think of a game kind of like Dear Esther or, you know, just something kind of like something like, I mean, I don't want to say Gravity Bone. No, I would say, the game's on the tip of my tongue, like something where you walk around and you need to experience everything, but the game is purposely slow. Cause with like jazz punk, I mean, it's over the top and that's the point of it, but not a lot of walking simulator games are just over the top. They're all like slow and methodic.
Yeah. I feel like I would enjoy them more if they were crazy and outlandish, though.
I mean, let's...
But that's just my type of gaming, and really just my type of personality in general. I just love crazy things.
I mean, that's why I really like Adult Swim games for the games they publish.
Oh, absolutely. They make great games. I love Adult Swim games.
I mean, so the Superhouse Dead Ninjas, I hear that game is, like, still amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played it. The only games I have from them are... Actually, no, I think it's just Sound Dodger. I might have another one from them, but, like, they only advertise on, you know, Adult Swim, the network. But other than that, it's, like, you don't hear a lot about it. So, you know, I was like, Sound Dodger, this game looks cool. Who, like, you know, oh, it was made by one guy. You know, who published it? Oh, it was an Adult Swim game. I mean, you just don't hear a lot about them publishing, but yeah. They always choose the most interesting things to publish.
Yeah. No, it's just, I don't know if they're that, like... big into it. I don't really know if they care that much. They're just like, hey, we make this silly fun stuff. If you play it, cool. If you don't, whatever.
I mean, I feel like they have to be at least turning part of a profit.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, I don't know how successful Jazz Punk was, but I mean, I loved that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wish they kept developing for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I want more.
Yep. Okay, so you were talking about how like gaming's art is a medium and how we haven't mastered. So there's that reminds me. So when I was talking about the game Gravity Bone, because I doubt you've played it because it's a small free game made by this one guy, his studio is called Blendo Games, and have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, I doubt it. You probably haven't heard of any of his other games because a lot of them are like I wouldn't say, I guess mods, or they're like story expansions, but he's most known for his series called Citizen Kane.
Great film.
Or is it Citizen, no, Citizen Abel, my bad.
I was going to say.
I got them mixed up.
Citizen Kane is a film. It's a wonderful film.
It is.
But it's not a video game.
No, I'm thinking
if they made a Citizen Kane video game, though, I feel like it'd be awful.
Yeah, it probably would, but no, I think it was like Citizen Abel or something, and so... How it works is, you know, you're a game about, like, a super spy, and it plays, I think, it plays off of, like, the Quake engine. It's one of those where it's, like, it was made in the Quake engine, so you need to have owned the game Quake. But what it's really about was about story and sort of over-the-top writing and very interesting sense of humor. But, so, Gravity Bone is a game which you could speedrun it in, like, 8 minutes, 5 minutes, and... What happens is it's like, you know, I wouldn't say advertised, but like the title says, you know, Citizen Abel Gravity Bone. So, yeah. It's a, quote unquote, well-established franchise. I mean, for a one person thing, it's like his seventh Citizen Able game. And what I think is that, like, all those games, they always toy with something new. So that one toys a lot, and the one after it, which is called 30 Flights of Loving, toys a lot with, like, with film stuff. So in 30 Flights of Loving, you have a lot of, like, cuts. You know, there's a part where you're running through an airport, and you randomly, like, teleport to another part of the map, but it's, like, it would simulate a cut in film.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, like, a lot of it just simulates stuff that, you know, in film you think is second nature. Like, oh, yeah, you know, a cut, a pan, that makes sense. But in a game, it's, like, awkward, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of walking simulators, have you ever played the Stanley Parable?
That's a great game. Yes, I have. I love it. It's another one of those weird, crazy, silly games that are so much fun. I did everything you could possibly do in that game. I made every choice, every which way, and I did it all in like 2 days. I just didn't stop playing it.
The thing is so, okay, I've always wanted to know, because I found like, I did that, and then I found that people made flowcharts. I mean, like, legit flowcharts of you know, what happens when you go through left or right door, and then the choice you make from there on out. I mean, the things I always wanted to know were, the confusion ending, because I never, like, I never knew if you actually, like, I think it said at one point you're in, like, just black space, and you find a bookstore.
Yep.
But, like, does that ever happen?
I don't remember finding a bookstore.
Well, you were in black space and found something?
I do remember being in space, yes.
I don't remember that part. Oh, no, that wasn't... I don't think that was confusion ending. That was a different ending, I think.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I remember being in space, and just... It was basically the entire time, I was just like, this is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, but...
This is wonderful.
And then
you are at peace.
Or you could, like, walk up the stairs and jump off.
Yeah.
But...
Which was the end of that.
Yeah, that's how you reset it. But no, like, well, I think, you know, that all partly plays in the confusion thing, but I also always wanted to see, could you turn on the mind control again? Because there are so many buttons, and I feel
I know the area you're talking about now.
The mind control or the...
The mind control, yeah.
Yeah, like, could you... Because you could turn that on, and always, like, flash these buttons, and I was always like, you know, is it possible? I always wondered that. Because I was wondering, you know, has anyone found that? Because that's just so, I just wonder if someone spent a lot of time there, because, my gosh, like, it looks like you can do it, but then it, you know, the narrator keeps telling you can't do it, but the game in and of itself is, it's one of those games where it's like, it might tell you one thing, but it means something else.
Well, I mean, not necessarily it means something else, but it's just... It's telling you to do something, but you don't have to do what the game is telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you're encouraged to not do it if you want silliness or weirdness or scariness even to occur.
Oh, I love... Have you seen the Raphael... I think it's like the... It's either Raul or Raphael trailer.
No.
It's the one where it's like... so we have made a... I can't do the narrator's voice, but I wish I could. It's like, we have made a new game where you can literally choose anything. So it was like... you're on the side of the road and you come upon the bicycle. Do you use it for your street pedal gang or to sell knockoff books? You are using it to channel the ghost of your dead Uncle Midas to help you as a snake charmer. it's like, because it was funny, because I it was based off of like some bad review, which I don't remember if it was like an actual bad review or if it was just made for the trailer's sake, but oh my gosh, it was just really funny.
Yeah.
You need to see. That was a good trailer. That was just a good trailer. I mean, it was just a good trailer.
Wonderful game.
A lot of the things is like, so Stanley Parable, Jazz Punk, they don't update.
I want more of them though.
I know. Like, you want more, but you're probably like, that's that sad thing about it, is because Jazz Punk was so fun. I love the over the top humor. Stanley Parable, that was just good design, but I mean, like, I don't think it's gonna happen.
I would love a Stanley Parable 2. I want that more than I want a Jazz Punk 2.
Yeah.
I just think it's so much fun. Because maybe not even a 2, just a, hey, here's more options now.
Okay, so, have you ever heard, because I remember we talked about this before, I don't think not on the show, but have you ever, do you know what clicker games are?
Yeah. We talked about this last show, I believe, Clicker Games.
I don't
yeah.
believe... We really... We did?
Yeah, we talked about them last show.
Hmm.
Look, listen to the last show. Listen Pretty to sure that. We talked about it.
Hmm. Free advertising much?
Look, go to the website. We're on the website, right?
Yeah, we are.
Go to whje.com.
And you can look under podcasts, and ours should be there. Now, if you're listening to us, if you're listening from the website because you found us and you want to listen to us live, well, live because this is pre-recorded, it is broadcasted on 91.3 WHJE from 5 to 6 o'clock every other week. You know, or you could probably hit us up on Twitter. It's at @WHJE_radio. If you have any questions for us, use #eHounds. So that way we know it's specifically for us. Yeah. And you have questions, you want us to talk about anything, we will be much obliged.
Yeah. And all the coolest people listen to this podcast. I heard Leonardo DiCaprio does. I'm not sure. I've heard it.
We don't get the before. Metrics. We don't get the metrics. So for all we know, Jay-Z and Leonardo DiCaprio are just they listen to us.
Exactly. They chill together at Jay-Z's pool. Mm-hmm. I assume he has a pool.
Did you know that this was, I think this happened a while ago, but Notch actually bid on a house that Jay-Z was and Beyonce were also bidding for, and he outbid them?
That's crazy.
I mean,
I feel like that just means they didn't want the house that badly.
Or he really wanted it.
Because I feel like Jay-Z and Beyonce could just be like, look, we want everything, and just get it.
I mean, it is, okay, that's not what this show is about. Let's talk about video games. Okay.
Look, we went off on a 5-minute tangent about driving.
Well, okay, but that had to do with Need for Speed, which...
We went off on the tangent because we were talking about Fallout.
Well, yes, you're right. Okay, so this is actually
also, aren't we almost out of time?
We are. We have less than 4 minutes. But so we haven't talked about esports. So by the time this is out, I believe the LOL World Championship should be starting. I do not think anyone in NA is going to win. I mean, CLG, I think, has a chance. I don't know how good TSM is going to do. I think they might make it past the first couple rounds, but I don't think they're going to make it very far. Cloud9, I think they'll be lucky if they make it out of the first round, especially out of the second round. Cause you might have done a reverse sweep in NA, but I mean, NA region, I was gonna say nation, but no, it covers Mexico and everywhere else. But NA as a region is not really good, so I don't think your top performers are going to be that good, especially sent against. So I know their junglers are one of the best shot callers in NA, but if he's not the best shot caller in the world, it's not gonna really make a difference. And yeah, that's for LOL Esports. What I was going to ask is, so on the topic of so, let's say you're talking about a simulation. So, this is going to go back to driving games. Which do you play a lot of driving games?
I play Mario Kart. Okay. That's about it.
Well, I was going to ask, do you like a lot of arcadey games? Or do you like realistic? So, the difference is Need for Speed is very arcadey. But, the game Forza, that's a very... Or Project Cars. Those are, really realistic.
I don't really have an opinion on that as far as, racing games go. Because I don't care that much, because, like I said, I'm a very big story guy. I love games with story. I've said it time and time again on the show, and I'll continue to say it. So I don't really care that much about whether it's arcadey or realistic. It doesn't matter to me. If I'm going to play a racing game, I'm just going to play it and not care.
All right. So this is to everyone who's listened this far in the show. We thank you for listening this far in. We actually will probably start...
You are the cool listeners. I want you to know that.
We will probably...
You're like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Next year...
I'm going to keep interrupting Evan. it's a lot of fun.
It's really funny how the middle of my sentence keeps interrupting the beginning of yours.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
What I was going to say is... We definitely will probably start getting into, as the holiday season rolls around, we will definitely start getting into, games, just the holiday season, so the new releases. We probably won't get into what to pre-order, because neither of us are big pre-order fans. I mean, I only pre-ordered Need for Speed because it to me, followed a good pre-order practice. But other than that, I mean, we'll probably talk about games to get, what games look the best, and, give all of our... personal, I guess, stories of if we play them or if we play it in front of the franchise.
Yeah.
But so, other than that, before we end, you told me that the new Hearthstone expansion came out, we left no time to talk about it. Would you like would you like to talk about anything last minute?
I got nothing, because to talk about the Hearthstone expansion, I would need more than like the 30 seconds we have left. So, I got nothing.
30, it's relative. But, I mean, yep.
10 seconds.
All right, well, let's okay, so Hearthstone, new expansion came out, that's it. All right, well, so with that, that will end this edition of the Hounds. I'm Evan Onimus.
I'm Michael Davis.
And tune in next time to hear your one-stop shop for gaming-related news here on eHounds, only on 91.3 WHJE Carmel. Let's get back to some music.